Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the election and what I call the loose ends as to the result of it and who's going to be our next president. Will it be Donald J. Trump, or will it be, as President Trump calls him, Sleepy Joe, coming out of the basement? But as we look at it and talk about a nanny state, a state that has the mindset from the governmental level that they're here to take care of us, and the only way that is possible is as they see it, is for a socialist, Marxist, Maoist, communist form of government. And that's what we're talking about. I have one of our sons, Greg, that's on the line with us today, and we're talking about these issues. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to put in your 2 cents worth to ask your questions, feel free to do so. We'd love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion today. Greg, where do you see this going from a political analyst standpoint? You're sharp at that. Where do you see this going? If you were to make an observation and a wild off-the-cuff guess, who's going to be our confirmed sworn-in on January the 20th?
If every live body over the age of 18 that's legally in this country, that they tote a voter ID card, if those people are allowed to vote and they're only allowed to vote once, Donald J. Trump becomes our president again for another 4 years. But if they allow dogs and cats and dead people to vote, along with illegal aliens and folks casting their second, third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth ballot, then anything goes. But if we stand by and allow this to take place, understand we will have already seen our last free and fair election in this country.
The left, you say right that, now, you say that, and it made me think of it, because this morning on Fox News, they interviewed Dr. Alveda King out of Atlanta. And she said that, and of course she was advocating for Christians to pray, and I'm in agreement with that. But she also stated that, she said, I know voter fraud is taking place in Atlanta. She said, I watched it when I was voting. And the commentator asked the question, what did you see? And Dr. Alveda King said that when she was standing in line to vote, that one voter did not have any ID. They didn't ask for any ID. He asked, should I sign anything? They didn't ask for any ID, no signature required to get his ballot, and simply was handed the ballot to vote. And she said, that's illegal. And that's exactly right. And that just, if you picture that little microcosm of that act, one act that she saw, multiply that for the state of Georgia in particular, where Stacey Abrams says that because of long lines for voting this year, that was evidence of voter suppression. That's just simply talking points to try to convince voters that they're being shut out of the process, and to force this issue of the stealing of the vote for Joe Biden, rather than it being legally carried out and the votes, all votes being counted. In fact, I find it fascinating, Greg, that the commentators on Communist Network News and the other fake news media outlets, where they say, they keep saying, there's no widespread voter fraud. They're right. It's not widespread. It's localized to about 5 or 6 states, and it's the same 5 or 6 states every year. So therefore, we need to understand that they are making a factual statement. It is not widespread. It is localized, but in those states that we're talking about now, that they still can't seem to find the ballots and voting. That's primarily in play Georgia, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Nevada. And all of these states are simply, I call it, as I said earlier, simply attempting to hold off until they can find enough ballots to make Joe Biden the president. In fact, Greg, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but last evening, state of Pennsylvania just shut down any voting, not voting, but any counting of votes at 10:30. They said, we're shutting it down. We're going home. My question is, who guarded those ballots in? How were they being overseen? Who was in charge of them? Who had access to them? And who moved in other trays of ballots in the meantime? What are some of your thoughts on what we need to expect in the next few days? Because state of Pennsylvania's got 10 days. They can go until the 13th of November before they make a determination and publish that determination on the number of votes.
Well, we have magicians and attorneys and criminals and such working on the left end of the spectrum. And they have planned for many, many months to disrupt the entire culture, the entire society. Understand, the task force will probably be called out in Jacksonville and other jurisdictions across the United States. D.C. will probably see major vandalism, things in flames, and riots. Parts of Pennsylvania will probably see this. We'll be looking at Seattle and across the country. They picked 400 sites to have major protest day of and following the election. Why did they do that? You know, this is the magician's trick, and it's in the smoke and mirrors. We're going to create such a disturbance, and literally there will be smoke. I don't know about the mirrors, but there will be smoke. It's a distraction, folks. It's a distraction. Because when all of a sudden your TV sets are dominated by things being burned and police cars being flipped over and windows being smashed, you'll forget briefly that we need to be guarding the ballot boxes. We need to make sure they're not bringing in more ballot boxes. We need to be making sure that the 150 people in this auditorium aren't remarking ballots. By the way, folks, I posted a video, and this was on Reddit. You can go out online, find it in 2 minutes if Google hasn't hidden it from you, or Twitter doesn't hide it from you, or Facebook doesn't hide it from you, because that's what they're doing. But you can go out very quickly, see the video that I posted and other people have posted, documenting voter workers that are counting ballots, marking those ballots. Now, folks, they didn't zoom in real close. You couldn't see whether or not they were voting for Donald Trump or voting for Joe Biden, or if they were just taking a Donald Trump ballot and marking an additional candidate on there. Now, keep in mind, that's how you wipe out a Donald Trump vote. Or if that person didn't clearly articulate their desire to vote for Joe Biden, you make sure you bubble in that one for them. But that doesn't have to be widespread. In the particular video I posted, you only see two individuals marking ballots. Now, that's illegal, folks. It's criminal. But you have to catch them in the midst of it. You have to stop it. And then what do you do with the ballots that they've marked? Do you know exactly what they marked? It's chaos that's created. But again, that's not widespread. So you take the 3, 4, 5, 6 states that are really going to turn this election, it'll end up being 2, but that'll really turn this election, and you have maybe 60 counties and 30 precincts per county, so 1,800 precincts that have to be compiled and voted. In each precinct, you have one person or two people that decide, hey, I just want to let this person come through and vote the second, third, or fourth time, and they can pick out this ballot. They can use 4 different names. Oh, that's not very widespread. And don't tell me it's not happening. We know it's happening. We watched it happen. We've documented it happening. All that has to take place is to have a few precincts that are really actively engaged. A former state representative, and he always liked to talk to him and say, brag about his Dartmouth credentials, Andy Johnson. I presume Andy Johnson's probably still with us. Matter of fact, he may be listening today. Andy, if you want to call in, we're going to have some real fun, man. Andy Johnson, when he ran against Corrine Brown, he said that in some precincts he got 0 votes. And it's documented. Candidates that have died before the election in those same areas got votes. He said, this is voter fraud. This is a lifelong Democrat, folks, from the north side of Jacksonville. And he said, that is voter fraud. That is voter fraud. Today he would probably tell you, oh, voter fraud doesn't really exist. When he was a victim of voter fraud, it existed. It existed. Matter of fact, that he sued on gerrymandering. Rob Sullivan was his attorney. Maybe I'll need to do some research. Understand that the left will use every tool in their tool belt, every agency of government, every lie, every fraud, and every scheme to get and to maintain power. They do not care if they sit atop an ash heap, so long as they are the ones sitting atop the ash heap.
You're exactly right, and one of the things I go back to is, as Christians, what do we do? As Christians, in the next few days, next several months, we need to ask God to intervene and to give us victory in this. But, Greg, there's some other aspects, some major tentacles that we need to talk about that's beyond just the vote and just the presidency. What's your name? The governor of Michigan, Michigan Governor Whitmer. Gretchen Whitmer has just done something that's almost beyond belief. Let me read you a brief portion of this article, and then we can talk about that. Michigan governor up to 6 months in prison if businesses do not surveil their customers. The article starts out, hello, how many in your party? And may I please have your full names and telephone numbers and addresses? This nightmarish phrase is going to be heard rather often in Michigan now. Starting Monday, Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer will soon require restaurants and bars to take diners' names, addresses, phone numbers, contact information, according to the release from Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Like many other businesses in Michigan, bars and restaurants now will be required to take names and this is already happening now with other businesses, but they're addressing this for bars and restaurants in particular, will take contact information to support effective contact tracing if necessary. The release reads, further, the article says, if that seems like a gross overreaction and case overreaction, that's because it is. Whitmer and her administration didn't have a prior history of hewing dangerously close to abusing their power. Maybe you could give these new restrictions the benefit of doubt and buy the whole contact tracing explanation. But Whitmer has already ran afoul of the Michigan Supreme Court, which ruled against her previous grab attempts for power to unilaterally extend her original emergency declarations. But now the bottom line of this is, Greg, and for the benefit of our listeners, the requirement for all business owners to get names, address, telephone numbers, and contact information so that if there's an outbreak in that business, they can be contacted. This article further says, as part of the newly extended orders, that reduces the number from 500 to only 50 persons, the maximum number that can be gathered indoors, gathering and for weddings, parties, and banquets, which occurs in non-residential settings, etc. But the bottom line that I want our listeners to understand, under Whitmer's new executive order, Nanny State to protect you, if that business fails to do follow the executive orders. It says violations are punishable by a civil fine of up to $1,000 and may be treated as a misdemeanor punishable by imprisonment for not more than 6 months or a fine of $250 up to $1,000 or both. Failure to comply with orders may violate a business professional licensure requirement or present a workplace safety violation that would cause them to be closed down. End quote. Greg, that's just a little tip of the iceberg of what I'm seeing from my vantage point and research of what's taking place across America. You have that with the governor in Virginia. You have that with the governor in California, the governor in North Carolina and in Kentucky, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Speak to that issue. What should Christians, what should conservatives, what should patriotic Americans do? Should we just say, okay, we're going to vote for and allow you to come in and intrude upon our constitutional liberties and freedoms, and we're going to take it? How should we respond?
We're watching totalitarianism or fascism rise in America. For 4 years, we have watched in amazement, surprise, at folks identifying Donald Trump as a fascist. Matter of fact, that's the Antifa, you know, group out there. They consider themselves anti-fascist, and they see Donald Trump as their peak, their pinnacle, their all surpassing, you know, enemy there. But the real totalitarianism, the real authoritarianism, the real fascism is rising on the left. Keep in mind, if you ask one of these folks, well, why is Donald Trump a fascist or why is he authoritarian? Most of them will go quickly to the fake news moniker that has been given to CNN and MSNBC and the mainstream media goons, okay? And, you know, that fake news moniker was well-earned because they are fake news. But did Donald Trump have the fake news investigated criminally, or did he put anyone in jail? No, he has not. Barack Obama did, though, have media outlets surveilled. He had them prosecuted. He had at least one in jail. So when we saw the authoritarianism, we saw it on the part of Barack Obama. We're seeing it with Whitmer. We're seeing it state by state by state. You look at the Looney Tunes in California and the lockdown on churches that doesn't apply to the gambling halls and such. So you'll understand totalitarianism. When you look up totalitarian, today's definition is related to a system of government that is centralized and dictatorial and requires complete subservience to the state. Joe Biden said he would have a mask mandate coast to coast. Folks, right now, I'm in the middle of a county that has about 33,000 residents, and we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of square miles of forest. We have the most wide open, beautiful spaces near the east coast of the United States. I walk into places where within 10 miles, there hadn't been a case in weeks and weeks and weeks. But Joe Biden would require me to wear a mask that, by the way, scientifically doesn't do a blessed thing. He would require that mask. Is that not authoritarian? And what they're doing with their reporting requirements, potentially, in bars, restaurants, what, I don't care who they required of. The reality is when there are reporting requirements to the government on every person that has attended a service, on every person that has purchased a good or service, that is an authoritarian step. Understand, step back in time. Let me say these words so you can understand the accent. Let me see your papers. Let me see your documents. That's where we are headed today if the left is able to gain control. They would like an absolute fact. These folks, this is in the model of Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong had dictatorial, authoritarian controls, centralized controls, where he and his goons made the decisions for China. They said when to plant, and they said when to harvest. And when tens of millions of people died because of the lack of wisdom of centralized planning, it's a systemic failure. It's an absolute systemic failure. Once you give those reins over, though, they're there. Those people then control whether or not you eat. The person that controls who you when you eat will control when you live and when you die, and you certainly aren't going to have the power to vote them out. Nicolas Maduro is the president in Venezuela today, and they cannot oust the man. Their powers have been absolutely removed because of centralized planning, centralized controls, socialism, a socialism experiment that 10 years in had the people starving. But we're going to go that course, America? We're going to go that way?
That's the direction that America's headed in if Joe Biden is confirmed as president. Greg, hang in there. I believe we have a caller on the line. Tom, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Hey.
Greg is so right on point that these blue states, they can count the vote. The trouble they have is turning over the results. It's not favorable to them. But they can count the votes just fine. It's just turning the results over if it's not favorable. And that young blood, now I understand why the Milk Toast mayor and the Milk Toast sheriff didn't have the Republican convention in Jacksonville, because it's become a Democratic city. And I'm very saddened by that.
Absolutely. And Tom, you touch on that. Hang in there a minute. You touch on that. One of the things we see the results today is because behind the scenes with the REC and the worthlessness thereof in our city, the Republican Executive Committee and the ones that chairs that and heads it up, they're worthless from the standpoint of having any conservatism in it. The mindset of the REC in the city of Jacksonville, Duval County, says that we need a big tent and allow everybody to just simply come in, whether they agree conservative with us or not. And that's simply destroying the integrity of what would be called conservatism in Duval County. And we have so many puppet rhino Republicans in Duval County that we're literally now a blue county as a result of that. And President Trump was exactly right when he took the first move and canceled his plans to have the convention here in Duval County, because he saw the handwriting on the wall. And we had a mayor and a city council that was bucking fact that Donald Trump was coming to Jacksonville and found every excuse and every way, even wanted to vote on whether or not Duval County could afford to pay for the security to have the convention here. So you're exactly right. We need to recognize that, and we need to not just roll over and play dead, but stand up and recognize that we need to be heard and be seen as conservatives if we want to protect our faith, our family, our flag, our future, our freedoms in America. We must take a stand on it. Tom, thank you so much for your call today. Have a blessed day. Greg, how do you respond to that statement? Is he right? Is he wrong?
Well, we're watching in America, and you hit the nail on the head when it comes to the halfway milquetoast party leadership that we oftentimes see. It's not just in Duval County, but across the United States. I think of a particular fellow, and he's a friend of mine on Facebook, because I read some of his profile things, and one great quote after another, good stuff. You'd think this fellow's a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, but he's a never-Trumper. Which, as soon as somebody claims to be a conservative, but they also claim to be a never-Trumper, your red flags ought to be going up. This fellow went out and supported. Now he's supposed to be a precinct a committeeman or a chairperson within the Republican Party in the state of Texas, folks, in the state of Texas. And he was openly advocating against Donald Trump and for Joe Jorgensen. Over and over, I pointed out to him the fallacy of supporting a third-party candidate, because since 1860, we've not seen the victory of a third-party candidate. That 1860, that was Lincoln, and it was the rise of the Republican Party, the anti-slave party, the abolitionist party. Today, there's no such thing as a third-party viable candidacy. All they do is literally pull away, draw away votes from one side or the other. In the case of this Joe Jorgensen up in Michigan right now, she holds 54,000 votes, and the spread in that state as of last night was about 12,000 between Trump and Biden. Did you hear what I said, folks?
Mm-hmm.
She's holding 54,000 votes. That was by design. That was by design. Joe Jorgensen in the state of Nevada as of last night had 13,000 votes. The spread there is 8,000 votes. But they play, folks. When I say they play, folks, the ignorance of the masses are played to by leftist Democrats. Literally, I am convinced behind the scenes Joe Jorgensen receives support, whether it be monetarily or physical support, from Democrats, that they wanted her to run so as to peel off a few votes. Folks, step back to the year, 2008. Well, we had Ross Perot run, right? It wasn't 2000, it was 96, wasn't it? Ross Perot ran. Here he is, a billionaire, a businessman, said a lot of the right things. He was a third-party candidate, though, and he gave us Bill Clinton for those years, because people were fooled by that. Today, folks, it's going to be a Democrat or Republican. This election's already over with, but understand that the left, that Democrats, are seeking to have perpetual power out into the future. They would like to have a one-party system, a Maoist system, into perpetuity. They'd like to have power into perpetuity. That's all this is about. This is not about right and wrong. It's not about left and right. It's about right and wrong. That's what's going on within the Democratic Party. Understand that, folks. Don't play to their ignorance.
We need to set up and smell the coffee, as I've said so often. Greg, there's another item or two that I'd like for us to discuss with the time that we have left. It plays into the same picture that we're talking about the Maoist control of the citizens, and that's what people have bought into. This election is very, very prima facie evidence of that. Here's an article that says, it's one holiday. Stay safe. Reaction to the CDC suggestions for a low-risk Thanksgiving. Most people are not aware of the fact that Joe Biden has said that he would follow the science, and he's talking about CDC and the World Health Organization. Well, for our listeners, they need to understand that the CDC has already put out recommendations as to what we ought to do and how many we can have in our home and what kind of Thanksgiving we ought to have and whether or not Thanksgiving should be inside or outside. And if you have more than six people, you should have it in separate houses and not have everybody in the same house for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. I've got a fistful of articles on that is just absolutely uncalled for and unbridled control for the nanny state. So how should we look forward to celebrating Thanksgiving and Christmas if you're going to follow the, quote, science supposed with the CDC recommendations, that means we'd have to cancel Christmas, have to cancel Thanksgiving, and probably in the future have to cancel Easter because we'd have more than six people in the home. One man said, and I'm looking at it here, he says, should I just toss Grandma a turkey leg out of the window as she drives by? One says, it's one holiday, let's stay safe. Another says, stop the fear, live your lives. Another says, going to McDonald's and eating my Mac turkey in the parking lot, that should be safe. So how do we respond to such idiocy, as if I can call it that, with the government wanting to be the nanny state and tell us now how we can have our Thanksgiving and how we can celebrate Christmas?
You know, Joe Biden says he's going to listen to the scientists. And I have this question for him. Which scientist will he listen to? Because when they say science is not a monolith. As many scientists have been out there and said that hydrochloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc actually would help with this COVID-19 Wuhan flu thing, as many said it would help as said it wouldn't help. And of course, I look at the stats, actually, the numbers that roll out on so many things. I'm going, well, the numbers seem to support this, that. The numbers don't support mask wearing. And regardless, the science is split. So which scientists will you listen to? Will you listen to the scientists that say there are little boys and little girls, or will you listen to the scientists that say there are 38 or 39 different genders? I'm going to go with the tried and true, science that says there are little boys and little girls. And I'm going to go with the tried and true, hey, if we have the actual documentation to back it up, when 85% of folks that have gotten this Wuhan flu say they wore masks all the time, then you start looking at the efficacy. But when you start looking at the scientific studies that prove there is no efficacy for about 99% of masks on the market, then you have to go, why in the world are we doing this to ourselves? But it literally goes back to the totalitarian control, and this great reset that's coming will give not just national totalitarian control, but international.
Greg, hold 1 minute. We have one final caller on the line for our broadcast today. Go ahead with your question or comment, please. They hung up, I reckon. I think the caller was saying they were for Biden. I wanted to hear from them. We've got about 45 seconds left, Greg. But it's a fascinating thing and a sad thing, too, when we see, for example, in the state of California, they're limiting for Thanksgiving not more than three in the household, and for your Thanksgiving celebration not being more than 2 hours. Any guests must remain outdoors and distance 6 feet apart and have hand sanitizers, et cetera, and rotate the number of not more than six inside the house coming in. Have your final statement on that, if you would, Greg, before we close.
I'm going to give you Winston Churchill's statement on socialism because it seems like socialism is what the left wants today. Winston Churchill said, socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Doesn't that seem to perfectly size up what the left, what Democrats, what socialists want in America today? Don't give into that. Don't give into that. Go out and engage and work as God has given you life and breath and health.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Located just 1/2 mile south of I-295, you are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 and on Sunday mornings at 8 on 100.3 FM. For expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety at 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. Tune in and invite others to listen.